trying. Oh, my gosh.
All right, everybody, come on in. Time for church to start. Find a seat. It's good to see you tonight, live streamers. Wherever you're watching from, it's good to have you. Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. We'll try that again. Happy Wednesday, everybody. All right. I got some announcements for you. So if I can have your attention real quick. Don't forget, this coming Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we have youth hangout for 5th to 12th grade, all right? So make sure your 5th through 12th graders are here Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We provide some food, a little bit of fun. There's a word. There's some worship. It's pretty much a Sunday night youth service for the kids, so that are our young people. So make sure you're here for that. And then November in 2 days. I can't believe it, all right? But November in 2 days. Some different things happening in November. Don't forget, we have November 17th, Sunday after church, is Next Steps. For those of you that are looking to make this your church home, Next Steps is for you. Tell you more about the church, get you involved in the church. There'll be a sign-up sheet for that. Then don't forget, the week of Thanksgiving, we don't have church on Wednesday, but we do have it on Tuesday. It's our Turkey Tuesday, the week of Thanksgiving. What else is happening? Oh, yeah, November the 23rd, a Saturday morning, 9 a.m., a men's breakfast. All right, so guys, there's a sign-up sheet back there for that. And then, of course, already looking to December, we have a Christmas party, a women's cookie exchange, and different things happening. So, by the way, there's a new small group kickoff in November. See Tish and Vinny about that. And November, for our normal small group schedule, is the last month. We take a break in December and January. So if you're part of a small group, dig in November. Then we'll be back in January with that stuff. But lots of stuff going on. And back at the back table, a little kind of an event sheet was created. For those of you who don't remember all the stuff I'm saying, it's back at the back table and just has what's coming up in November and December on it. So you can go check it out. It's back there by the sign-up sheets, all right? So how about this? Everybody stand up on our feet tonight. I don't know about you, but I look forward to coming to church on Wednesday. Well, first of all, because I like you, believe it or not, but I love to come together and worship Jesus in the middle of the week and spend time in the Word to know that God is with us, to be reminded of not only our fellowship but the house, but that God is attentive to us. Amen? So let's worship Jesus together tonight.
Now, what a friend. on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new.
I know the author of
never fail.
Spirit, that Lord, we are your people, and you simply go before us, lead us in the ways that we should go. I thank you for that. So we raise our hands and we worship you, give all of our hearts to you, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. We love you, Lord. You're so wonderful and good. We praise you tonight. Lord, and all of this for your glory. All of this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. All righty, we'll go love somebody for a couple minutes, all right? Kids, you're dismissed for kids' church. They'll check you in downstairs. Parents, please help them do that. And live streamers, we'll be back with you in just a second. Well, while we're waiting for kids to get checked in, you can prepare your giving tonight, your tithe and your offering. Tom Burkholder, tell me what a tithe is. 10% of what? Of your... Are you a tither? Huh? Why do you tithe? Why do you tithe? I'm putting Tom on the spot. He's getting the quiz right now. I just know Tom's a giver. That's why I was asking him. Yeah, you know, I want you know, if God is in charge of your money, I found that he'll be in charge of a whole lot of other stuff too. You know that? And I think Christians can get stingy with their money. They'll be all for all sorts of stuff, but man, when it comes to their money, because of worry, greed, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that say the tithe isn't for today. Okay, well, you want to buy into that, buy into it, but doesn't mean you shouldn't give, right? So bottom line is, the precedent of generosity is found in the scriptures, because God is the God who freely gives, and we respond to him in, listen, every area of your life should be counted as honorable unto him, right? The words that you say, who was I talking to before church? Vinny. Curse words. I know these things vary by country, but in America, I can tell you the words you shouldn't say. Right? True? Your thoughts. Obviously, your actions. Your reactions. Your sexuality. Every part of who we are is to be honorable unto him. It's also your money. Should be honorable to him. And when you honor God, listen to me, when you honor God with every area of your life, what happens is, as you grow and you mature in your faith and as you learn, you're very pliable to what you learn. So let's just say, and Benny and I were having a conversation about briefly before church, let's just say I believe in Jesus, I give him my life to him, but I never heard I shouldn't drop certain words in my language. But I come into that knowledge, hey, that's not a good witness. Because I want to honor God with my speech, I'm very pliable to say, okay, I'm going to work on not doing that. You see, I'm getting at it. I'm not going to be, well, what's the big deal? It's every area of your life. When it comes to your money, if I'm honoring God with every part of who I am, and I learn about generosity, and I learn about ways to be freely giving in that area of my life, I'm not going to fight about it and get stingy about it and argue with God about it, or I don't really have to. Because I want to honor God in every part of my life, and it includes our money. So part of the reason you're taught the tithe and the offering to the house is so you will be that way when you're not here. There's precedent that's set in the body of believers. And you see so much in the early church, they were constantly taking collections for those in need, the poor, and taking them places and distributing it. We're actually in November, not this Sunday. I'm going to be preaching out of Romans 6 on Sunday, but the last three Sundays of November, I'm going to teach a series called Generosity. We're going to talk more about this stuff. But precedent we see in the early church, they're constantly taking up collections for those in need and distribute. And you'll find in one passage we're going to talk about, it was those that were in need that were given to those in need. They were very generous even when they were in need because they understood something about God, that God supplies seed to the one who sows. And he's not waiting till I feel like I have enough to sow, then I'll sow. He supplies seed, increase, to the one who is active in their sowing. So it's not just about giving to, which I hope you do. If you come to this church and you receive from this church, I hope you give to the church. That's a whole other conversation. But it's about every area of your life, the willingness to be generous. Okay, see what I'm getting at? So anyways, as we give tonight, we want to be people with a generous heart. That's why Paul says, when you have a generous heart, you're going to be what kind of a giver? Cheerful. You're going to like to do it. You're going to feel good when you do it because you know there's something to that. Amen? All right. That was just a long thing to give you time to fill out your envelopes. Let me pray over it. Lord, we thank you to be able to give tonight. You are generous, and so shall we be. And I praise you tonight in your name that we do these things because we're growing, we're learning, we're becoming. We want to honor you in all things. And I thank you as we give tonight. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. And some announcements that didn't make it up front, don't forget, again, this is a generosity thing. If you want to do this, the shoeboxes for the children overseas are due November 17th. Don't forget also the Sycamore House bowling benefit on November 9th. Mike has all the details about that, okay? And like I said, back at the back table, there's this event sheets for November and December. You can grab one of those. If we run out, we'll just print some more. Amen? All righty, your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. We're still there. And I think we got a couple more Wednesdays in this. And yes, by the way, if you saw me up close, people are asking, I have a line of stitches down my face. Margo punched me the other day. I made her mad. I'm kidding. I had a spot taken off my face on Monday, and so they cut it out and all that business. That's why I have stitches on my face. I was kind of amazed when I took the bandage off Monday or Tuesday morning. I was like, holy smokes, that's like 5 inches long. I had no idea. But anyhow, I'll be fine. It's okay. Hebrews 11. Hey, we're a church on mission. Is that true? Are you on mission? I hope you're on mission. And we are a church on mission. Listen to me. I am not satisfied. And I hope you're not satisfied either. Not only what God can do in your life, but what God can do through you in the lives that we live, that as we live our life every day, that God is doing things not only in us, but also through us. A church on mission lives by what? We live by faith. What do we live by faith in? Well, God. But we live by faith in what he has said. And we do these things because we also have faith in the things that we hope for and the things that we have not seen. So I believe very firmly in the life to come. I have the full expectation that when I die, the lights go out, the lights aren't going to stay out, that there's a life to come. And I believe that so much that there is an eternity, it affects how I live today. All right? So faith is belief in God, then it's trust in him and what he has said. And because I believe in what he has said, then I'm going to change my life according to it. So directions for this life and keeping in step with the Spirit. It's belief in things like eternity to come and judgment to come and all these different things. There's a perspective that comes with those things. But it changes everything about, so I want to honor God with all of my being, like we were talking about before we took up our offering, tithe and offering. I want to honor God with all of who I am, so that obviously changes how I live. So faith, a life of faith, ultimately is reflected in how you live. You can tell me you believe in God. Good. You can say you've asked for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. But what do you do with your life after that? That we live by faith, right? And then life is a life of following Jesus and discovering what it means to be in abundant life because what faith allows. The abundant life of being free from sin, which we want to talk Romans 6 on Sunday, that you have been set free from sin. I want to talk to you about that Sunday. Anyways, Hebrews 11 and verse 24. We're picking up where we left off last week. We're still talking about Moses in here. Hebrews 11, 24, it says, by faith, by active belief, by trust in God, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking toward the reward. Okay, we'll stop there. Now, as we were talking last week, remember the story of Moses. Pharaoh issued an edict because the Israelites were becoming too numerous for them, and they began to enslave them. But he said, hey, when the Hebrew women have babies, the girls can live, but the boys must be killed. And, of course, when Moses is born, his parents hid him. Remember, they hid him for 3 months. Then they built a basket and set it, a floating basket. They put it in the reeds of the Nile, and Pharaoh daughter and her entourage found the basket. She took him in, asked for a Hebrew midwife to nurse the baby. By chance, of course, it's God. They choose Moses' mother to do it. And so Moses grows up in the court of Pharaoh. Okay? Now, what's interesting is by the edict of Pharaoh that the baby boy should be killed, it was no secret that this was a Hebrew child, an Israeli child. So there was favor of God that they did not kill this boy, that he was allowed to live in the courts of Pharaoh. So this is where the writer of Hebrews picks up. So let's go back, and as we've been doing, we actually go back into the story of where Hebrews draws from. So Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. Exodus chapter 2. In verse 11. So let's see where the writer of Hebrews is drawing from. It says, one day when Moses had grown up, so again, he had grown up in the courts of Pharaoh, he went out to his people, the Israelites, and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. And he looked this way, and then he looked that way, like he was going to cross the street. And seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So Moses murdered this man, then covered him and buried him in the sand. But when he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, why do you strike your companion? So he sees these two guys in an argument, and they begin to fight in such a way they're hitting each other. And this man answered Moses, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, surely this thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard of it, now watch this, he sought to kill Moses. Certainly Pharaoh knows who Moses is. Sought to kill him. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. And all sorts of things in the Old Testament and the New Testament happened by wells. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. And they came and drew water and filled the troughs of water for their flocks, their father's flocks. And the shepherds came down and drove them away. But Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. And when they came home to their father Reuel, he said, how is it you have come home so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock. So Moses right there is being identified as an Egyptian, maybe by what he was wearing, his looks, or whatever. And he said to his daughters, then where is he? And why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And then Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah. And she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. And during those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. And their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Remember, God is a God of generations. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. And then, of course, chapter 3, we have Moses in the burning bush. So we just kind of read where the author of Hebrews drew from that little passage that we just read. Now, it's interesting that Hebrews says something that the account in Exodus does not. It says that Moses refused to be known as Pharaoh's son or Pharaoh's daughter's son. And what we're seeing here is that Moses grew up in the court of Pharaoh, but somehow, some way in all of this, he was taught, came to an understanding of the difference between the Egyptians and the Hebrew slaves that were there. Most likely the midwives that were keeping him, that were brought into Pharaoh's court to take care of him, were teaching him things on the sly. And Moses knew the difference between the Egyptians and the Hebrews and the things that they believed. And Moses at some point came to a place where he wanted to more identify with the Hebrews than he did the Egyptians. Now, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says that, he didn't want to be counted as Pharaoh's daughter's son. It doesn't say that in Exodus, but that's what's drawn from the tradition of Moses. And as a matter of fact, he chose to be mistreated like the Israelites rather than be among the Egyptians in Pharaoh's house. Now, was it that Moses was ungrateful for what happened with Pharaoh's daughter? Probably not. But yet, the yearning of the Spirit drawing him into the things that were proper of God is probably, most likely, what is taking place. And the writer of Hebrews accounts this to Moses, that he was simply okay to be mistreated than be into the pleasures of sin. In other words, to live a life separated from God in the Egyptian way. Moses faced a choice. We all face this choice. See, there is an identification that you take on in your life based on who you choose to associate yourself with. Am I going to associate myself with the God who I know? Or am I simply going to associate myself with the surrounding culture and the pleasures of sin? And Moses, and you got to think, he sees his people in the condition of slavery, while at the same time growing up in Pharaoh's court, he's probably well taken care of. Right? It's kind of like when you live in the upscale neighborhood of the 3,000 to 4,000, 5,000 square foot homes, and then you walk across the track to the rundown side of a neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about? The haves and the have-nots, as society has a tendency to break down into. Moses chose to identify with the have-nots, even though he could have identified with the haves. In stature, in provision, but it was driven because of a drawing to his people, which God later used when he called them to go get them out of slavery. But that's kind of a big deal. Because the more Moses didn't want to be identified as Pharaoh's son, Pharaoh's daughter's son, the more he endangered himself to be made a slave and to be put to work and to live in the conditions that, well, the Israelites found themselves in at that time. In other words, if we want to put it in kind of the way we would say it today, you have a choice to be in the world and be like the world, or you have a choice to be in the world but be not of it. Even if it, in some way, puts you on the other side of the tracks, if you know what I mean. In your reputation. See, Moses was willing to give up his entire reputation. He was in the court of Pharaoh, connected to Pharaoh's daughter. That's some high stuff. And all the things that go with it. He was willing to give it up because he was drawn to a different identification. You see that? See, living by faith is a life where you are willing to give up your reputation if necessary. For who? The cause of Christ. And the writer of Hebrews actually draws Jesus into us. Now, Moses didn't know Jesus. But the writer of Hebrews, let's go back and read what it says. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Let's go back and read that again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Again, it said, by faith, when Moses would have grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now, again, Moses didn't know Jesus, but the writer of Hebrews is drawing Jesus into this, that you must consider reproach of Jesus greater than anything you can gain in this world. What good is it to gain the world, let lose your soul? So the guy, one of the guys who mentored me in ministry, a guy named Tom Sipplin, he was a youth pastor, and when I felt called to ministry, I ended up interning with him for a couple summers. He started this thing called this 30-second kneel down. 30-second kneel down. It actually became an area-wide thing in Pennsylvania, kind of through the region of where we were at. You know, you got Hershey, Harrisburg, Mechanicsburg in that region. It was a challenge that every day at the start of school in the public schools, a student would kneel down at their locker for 30 seconds and pray. 30-second kneel down challenge. And hosts of students started to do it. It was a really cool thing. But yet, here come the stories. Kids are kneeling down. Somebody walks by. Give an old knee in the side. Pushing kids over. All of a sudden, by kneeling down, these students began to identify themselves with something other than the identification of everybody else. It became known that these kids were praying and that these kids were Christians. They made a public choice that for some of them cost them their reputation. I was a youth pastor, and I thought that was really cool. We were doing it with our kids over at the Boxes Church. I made magnets that said, I am a Christian, and I don't remember, it was like five or six things. That I gave those out. Kids were putting those in their lockers. Man, we heard stories of kids coming by and ripping them out and throwing them down the halls. A few months later, you know what was being passed around the schools over there? Magnets said, I am not a Christian. And we're listing things. Pushback. It's crazy stuff. But the amazement to me was there were kids, teenagers, that were willing to give up their reputation and forsake the treasures of Egypt to be counted among the people of God, even it cost them everything Egypt had to offer. You see, I'm getting at. See, 1 Peter chapter 2. Thirty-second kneel down. It's amazing what simple acts can do. But you know, also stories that started to come out where kids were coming by the kids praying and saying, hey, I know you're praying. Can you pray about this for me? Teachers coming out and standing by some of those kids so they wouldn't get knocked over. Helping them respect what they believe. And I know you hear all this stuff about public schools. It's not all that way. I worked for one for 12 years. There's some good. It's kids standing up for Jesus. It can be done anywhere, even a public school, believe it or not. It can be done in your workplace. It can be done at your family reunion. It can be done at your high school reunion 25 years later when you got saved in between. Now you come back a different person. So I'm getting that. But are you willing to possibly have to give up Egypt if that's what's necessary, right? 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 9. I'm sorry, I said 2. It's 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I'm sorry, that's wrong. 1 Peter, because I was just reading what I had 2 Peter. That's not right. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, or a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous, his wonderful light. See, once you were not a people, you were belonging to the Egyptians. But now you are the people of God. You identify with the Hebrews. And once you have not received mercy, but you discovered God reaching out to you, so now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners. There it is, that word of Moses' firstborn. And exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. We're going to talk about that Sunday. And wage war against your soul. In other words, your sinful desires. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, or the non-believers, honorable. So when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. You see, do you see how you're called out? You're chosen. You're royal. Right? You're holy unto him. But you have to make the choice to identify out of the Egyptians and the pleasures of sin of Egypt. Listen to me. That is part of living by faith. Now, listen to me. I've grown up enough in charismatic circles. You hear a lot of faith being talked about. Faith so God will do this for me. Just have faith in God. Okay, yes and amen. Pray and believe. But the basis of living by faith is that you come out of something and into something, and that is the abundance of life, even if you lose your reputation in the process.
It takes faith to live like that. Why would I live like that? Because I believe in what I do not see and the things that I hope for, eternity. And I believe in it so much that I will live today identified with him and not of Egypt. Even if it costs me everything. See what I'm getting at? That's living by faith, people. You see that? I live by faith because I'm reaching toward the reward to come. And Hebrews says that, according to Moses, he was looking toward the reward. Well, what was he looking toward? He had an understanding. There's something coming. Now, it got translated maybe into the whole promised land business, which he never got there because there's a greater reward than the promised land promised in the Bible to the Israelites. We know that is our eternity. I have faith in that. I have faith in it. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be really, really honest with you. Of a lot of the things that I pray for, cast your cares upon him. I cast my cares upon him. It's like scattering seed, man. I got a few of them. Lord, I'm coming, man. I got some things. Look, he knows before I ask. But what if God never responds to any of those kind of things? Would I give up on living by faith to come out of Egypt because God is not responding to things that I want fixed? If you know what I'm getting at? We get frustrated with God because he doesn't fix everything we want fixed. When the whole time he's saying, living by faith is not living in Egypt. How about we get that down? How about you grab hold of the eternity to come by faith? How about you do that? And when you do that, it puts into perspective all the stuff you want fixed anyways. You see what I mean? Our perspective, what it means to live by faith, needs to be in the right place. So all these stories that we're drawing from Hebrews 11 is about somebody responding and doing something God has said versus somebody getting a bunch of stuff they ask of God for. And there's a difference there. By faith, Abraham went where God told him. Had nothing to do with Abraham saying, God, I want you to do this for me. You go down through the stories. Go back and read them. Right? Next week, we're going to do the whole Moses when God tells him to go get the people out. By faith, Moses went and did what? God told him to do something. It wasn't, hey, God, Moses saying, God, I want you to do all this stuff. That's faith. By faith, Moses listened to what God said. I think we got to get good at listening to what God says first before you dump all your cares upon him and get frustrated that he's just not giving you everything you want. In other words, don't be consumer in your mentality about faith. You ever go into Walmart and not find what you want? I know it's almost impossible, but it happens. You ever go into Walmart and not find what you want? I was beside my... So before the church picnic, I went to Walmart because we have a couple cornhole boards. We don't have any bags. I thought for sure Walmart has cornhole bags. They did not. I walked up and down. I was in disbelief. I probably walked the aisles for 20 minutes there. Of course, I'm a guy. I didn't ask. But I'm walking up and down. I'm in the... There's ping pong paddles, ping pong balls. There's kickballs. There's basketball. There's got to be cornhole bags. There wasn't. I was frustrated. I left. I was kind of put off. Like, I'm almost like, I ain't ever coming to Walmart again. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? You get that way with God when you have a consumer mentality with your faith. When he doesn't give you what you want when you walk in the store right away or when you want it, you kind of get frustrated at him. You walk out of the store. Living by faith is simply doing what he has said and grabbing hold of what's to come. Now, I'm all for you casting your cares. I believe he responds to those things. But don't live basis of faith in that. Start with this. And I believe, listen to me, I believe so much in the life to come that if I don't feel everything I ask of him, I get a response, I'm going to go, okay. It's not changing the trajectory of my life. I may get there sooner. A little more worse for the wear. That's okay. Weren't promised an easy life. I may get there a little tougher in my heart. I may learn what it means to have some perseverance. That's scriptural, by the way. I may learn to have patience with these things working out. That's scriptural also. Right? But I'm not giving up. Where I'm going, I'm going to stay living by faith every single day. Amen? Even if I lose all of Egypt to get there. Right? Yeah, by faith. So, a church on mission is a church that lives by faith. Yeah. Church on mission lives every day by faith. You know what? It's kind of like this. By faith, we leave Egypt. But then we go, oh my goodness, now I'm on mission. I got to go back. But not to be enslaved again, but help bring some people out. And that's where the story goes next week. I'm just not happy I got out. God, through a burning bush, said, hey, you got to go back there. What? I want to go back there. They're waiting for me. I want to get caught up in slavery again. No, go back. I'm calling you back to get. That's impossible. No, I'm with you. That's all by faith, too. I'll take care of it. You just do what I tell you to do. Right? He got Moses left by faith, and he goes back by faith. That's a church on mission. Amen? That's the kind of church we need to be. All right? Let that challenge your heart tonight. So I'm going to pray. Then I have one thing I want to tell you about, and then we'll let you go tonight. Sound good? So some of you have got to leave Egypt all the way and refuse to be identified as Pharaoh's daughter's son anymore. Can't keep one foot in Egypt so you can get as much of Egypt you want and one foot outside of it, you'll end up in Egypt. You've got to come out and be separate and learn. So then you can go properly go back on mission. Right? Some of you got to make that decision. Quit playing with where you need to be in your life. It's not worth your soul. You can go back to Egypt and gain the world. It's not worth your soul. Amen? Lord, I pray you're calling us out that we are a people that are set apart. Yes, we are part of this world. We have to function in a society, but yet we are going to be a people of you. Even it cost our reputation. And I thank you, Lord, that it's honorable to you. That's not a prideful thing. It's not an arrogant thing. It's not a, hey, look at me kind of thing. But it is simply, possibly, the cost of following you. And I pray, Lord, that we live by faith in that way. Lord, that we can do it because you're with us. You help us. So I praise you, Jesus, and I worship you. All of my life is yours. If I have to kneel down at my locker, or if I have to put a magnet in there, if I, whatever it needs. That what I do is a light for you. So I praise you, Jesus. And I worship you with all of my being. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So, I had a thought. I didn't run this by anybody. My executive decision. I'm kidding. But I didn't tell anybody. So this is a bad idea. You just forget about it when you leave. Now, in our church family, this is not for the wider community. Not for your aunts and your uncles. In our church family, if you are looking at Thanksgiving coming up and you're struggling financially, let us know, and we would like to buy a turkey for your Thanksgiving day. If you would like to sponsor a turkey for a family in the church, I want you to let us know. And all you need to do is, in either case, tell Margo. And if you need a turkey, it's okay to ask. I'd like you to have a turkey on Thanksgiving Day. But if you want to help a family with a turkey, let Margo know, and we'll match numbers up. Sound good? I just thought I want to help for the holidays. Amen? Because I just like to eat turkey, and I just hate the thought of somebody not having a turkey. I'm a traditionalist like that. It's just me. All right? Sound good? But don't be ashamed to ever ask. But don't ever be ashamed to ask for help. It's okay. Right? That's what a family of faith is for. Right? Amen? Amen. All right. See you Sunday morning. Bring some friends out. And let's fill the house on Sunday. Have a wonderful rest of the week.